This is the Apple This Extra.
Hello and welcome to another Apple Viz Extra. My name is Dave Nason. I am joined in the co-host chair by Mr. Scott Dabbert, and we are delighted today to be joined from Envision by Karthik Kannan. So guys, thanks very much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, David and Scott. We've been on a bunch of podcasts, but we're really excited about the Apple Viz podcast because, you know, we've been interacting with the forum ever since 2017, you know, when we submitted the first beta of the Envision app, the Envision iOS app. So we've been interacting with the forum ever since. And I've also heard a few of the podcasts as well. So it's nice to be here. Nice. Yeah. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much. And Scott, great to have you on again. I hope you're keeping well in these crazy times, and I hope our listeners are too.
Are you sure it's great to have me on yet? Give it a couple minutes. You might want to reconsider.
Where in the world are you today, Scott? You're normally a man who travels a lot, but obviously right now that's not on the cards.
Well, unfortunately, now we're all kind of in lockdown mode still on this side. I'm home in Charlotte, but we've had some really nice weather. It's been like last week. There was a couple of days we got up to about 30 Celsius. So I've been enjoying the kind of like precursor to summer. It's been really nice.
Nice. Yeah. I mean, in the Netherlands as well, we are now going into summer weather, and especially, I don't know if it's something with the Netherlands or not, but it's like, you know, it's during the week, it's kind of okay. And then the weekend, the sun comes out and everyone comes out. Probably now is not the best time for everyone to come out during the sun, but it's a nice, you know, summer, spring weather that's going on right now. And it's still a little bit more time before it becomes full-fledged summer. But it's great weather out here, especially today. It's just nice and sunny, you know, really tempting to go out.
Yeah, same. So as I said, Karthik is from Envision. So for those who aren't familiar with Envision, Karthik, for the basics, what is it? What does the app do? What are you guys all about?
All right. So Envision is basically an app that helps people with a visual impairment to live more independently. And we use computer vision to help people do that. So the app is capable of reading text or recognizing faces, detecting objects, and so much more. So the way you use it is you just point at things and you take images of things, and we extract information from those images and then speak it out to you. So if you're at a train station, you could basically point the app at a display and it will go ahead and read out the text to you. Or if you're looking for a friend or a family member, you could just scan for them using the app. Though Envision does a lot of things, what it's really known for and something that's, you know, pretty much universally loved by all of the users, it's its ability to read text. So the app can read in more than 60 different languages, including languages like Arabic or Japanese or Hebrew. And it's capable of a lot when it comes to being able to read text. It's extremely accurate and extremely fast as well. And that's something that users really, really like about the app. So that's the Envision app in a nutshell. And another key thing is that we're available on both iOS and Android. I know this is an Apple Viz podcast, but I think for people who own both these devices, Envision is a great option to have because, you know, there's no other app like that out on Android yet. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And there would be people like even I myself have an Android phone for work, you know, which isn't my choice, but that's, you know, what I have. So, yeah, there would be listeners, I'm sure, who would be interested to know that. I'm always interested, actually, to know when we get a developer on who's developed something like this specifically for the blind and visually impaired community, kind of what kind of got you interested in that area? Is there, you know, family things, or is it just something you stumbled upon? Or,
well, so the idea for Envision started off as a master's thesis of my co-founder. Right. And it all started when we actually went to a blind school back in India, and we wanted to give a talk to the kids at the blind school there. And after the talk, the talk was basically about what it is to be a designer, because he was giving a talk about what it is to be a designer and, you know, how do designers and engineers solve problems and so on. And after the talk, we had an interaction with the kids there. And one of the key things that we sort of understood from the kids is that, you know, they had very limited, I would say, career options or very limited options because of the lack of independence. You know, a lot of them wanted to be able to do things more independently. And after the talk, we were just sort of brainstorming, you know, because he was coming from a designer's point of view and I was coming from an engineer's point of view. And we were trying to think about, you know, what we could do with today's technology to enable independence. And then my, you know, my co-founder decided to go ahead and dig deeper into what it means to be, you know, independent and what independence means to visually impaired people. And what we sort of realized at the end of that whole research phase was that independence means access to information, right? So if there is a piece of visual information out there, if you're able to access it, you would become more independent in the process, right? And that's the whole idea behind his master's thesis. And we realized that the current state of artificial intelligence enables us to go ahead and give people access to that visual information. So there was a lot of really, really exciting thing happening, exciting things happening in AI at that time. You know, people were talking about how AI has become a lot more better than humans or getting much more better than humans in certain tasks, like being able to recognize different kinds of objects or being able to, you know, read text and so on. And that sort of prompted me to go ahead and look into how we could apply these technologies in the form of a mobile app to help visually impaired people. And that's sort of what kicked off Envision itself. And once the master's thesis for my co-founder got over, I moved from India to the Netherlands, and we started Envision as a company because a lot of people during the thesis, when we actually handed them out very early stage prototypes of Envision, were quite excited about what the potential was, and they really wanted us to go ahead and do this as a full-time gig so that the app becomes something that visually impaired people all over the world could use. And that's sort of what prompted Envision to be started off in the first place.
Were you familiar with screen readers like VoiceOver before or was this your introduction to them?
As a developer, yeah. You know, I mean, the first time I was, I heard about visually impaired people using smartphones from my co-founder. He was talking about how in his research phase, he saw that a lot of visually impaired people were actually very, very tech savvy and were very comfortable with using smartphones. And that's when I got introduced to the concept of a screen reader. And then there was this really magical piece of software called VoiceOver that was there on all your, you know, Apple devices, including mine at that time. And I could just go ahead and use it like how, as a screen reader. And that sort of kicked off my whole, you know, fascination with screen readers and stuff like VoiceOver or TalkBack. And as a developer, I was kind of mind blown that there was this entire world of accessibility that I never knew about. And it's pretty fascinating to see how things have come along so far.
Well, and it's really commendable that, you know, sometimes we have people that have university projects, for example, and they do these things. And then once they're done with their course or their degree or whatever, they move on and that's it. We don't hear anything from them anymore. So I appreciate that, you know, the project was not stopped at all. Once the education part of this was complete, you know, you guys kept moving forward with it. And one of the things that I really like about Envision AI is that I can use Android and iOS. And if I have a lifetime subscription, for example, I can use it on those platforms interchangeably. I'm not like if I decide later, I don't want to have an iPhone anymore. I want to go use a Samsung or whatever. That subscription comes with me. That's great.
Yeah, that's actually, I mean, you know, the whole push for starting this full time after, you know, the master's thesis was really something that came very organically from the people that were part of our, you know, study group, where we had when we started off the study group, we had around 30 to 40 people. And within 6 months, it organically grew to more than 500 people. Like, people were sharing the Envision, you know, the test-flight link to the Envision app without really, like, it was just being, like, it went viral in the European blind community in a way, because everyone was just, like, talking about the app and they were sharing it with people on WhatsApp. And it was, like, And towards the end, when we said that, hey, you know what, the thesis is getting over and we might, you know, wind the app down, we got a torrent of email from people who were using the app in so many different ways that we didn't think about. And that sort of was the organic push for us to be like, okay, maybe there's something here that, you know, could really make an impact. So let's try to go ahead and start this off as a full-time thing. So that's how it is. And since the beginning, our focus was to try and make the app and the platform, the Envision platform itself, as widely available as possible. So Android has been a thing that we've been looking at since day one. But as any developer would say, like developing on Apple is a lot more easier to begin with, especially when it's a really complex app like Envision. But I think we've done a pretty decent job on Android as well. Yeah, we're quite happy with it.
When you say that, is it general development is easier on iOS or specifically screen reader aspects that you find easier on iOS?
I think it's the general, development. So I think Android and iOS both have like different strengths. You know, there are some things that I could do on Android today that cannot be done on iOS at all, as a developer, right? And that's one of the key things that has enabled the Envision Glasses, because the Envision Glasses run on Android. And there are things that we are able to do on the Envision Glasses because of the fact that it's Android. But in terms of the ease of building tools, iOS is definitely a much easier platform, right? Because Apple does a lot of heavy lifting for you. The development itself is a little cleaner than Android, a little more straightforward than Android. And so for us, when we wanted to think about how can we take all this really complex computer vision technology and try to go ahead and bring it down to a smartphone app, iPhone was the best option. And also because most of the visually impaired people that we interacted with were using iPhones, and we saw that iOS was basically for most visually impaired people, the default OS of choice, because VoiceOver is just so good. You know, that also plays a big role as well. Yeah. Even today, I think there's certain things that are so much easier to do with VoiceOver than it is to do on TalkBack, Yeah. And that kind of makes it easy for developers to adopt apps and make them more accessible.
When you look at devices on iOS, like the iPod, for example, you don't even need you don't even need a phone, but it's like having a world of accessibility in your pocket when you look at adding things like Envision AI, device that's so small and a large number of people find that more affordable than, say, an iPhone. So that's one of the great things about this app, I think.
Yeah, and I think the fact that, iOS gives you a lot of backward compatibility, like even though we're on iOS 13 right now, we're still having developers using, iOS 11 and still be able to get the most out of the app, right? And that kind of backward compatibility is something that I really love Apple for, Yeah, like it allows you to have your same phone, but then it still allows you to keep, having the apps that you had, and the apps could still keep updating with new features and bug fixes and improvements and trickle it down all the way to people on iOS 11. That's actually really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And like while iPhones and smartphones generally, they're not cheap, but I suppose compared to the array of different tools that you could buy, just being able to do a lot of that stuff with a single app is opens up those kind of tools to so many more people, I would say.
Yeah. And going forward, even though we might have the glasses now and, we have a big presence on Android, iOS is where, we roll out the new features first, and iOS is where we put all the exciting stuff first, and then over a period of time, as the technology matures, we also port it to Android. So that's really how we've been moving so far.
The early app was that object recognition and text recognition. Were they the kind of the very first features?
Yeah, they were. I mean, the first app or the first version of the app just had like a single screen with like two buttons where you could just go ahead and read text and then describe a scene. And today we have like over 11 features within the app, and it's three tabs, and it's grown a lot. But I think the first version was just like two very simple buttons, and people were just able to use it. And over a period of time, we kept adding more and more things that we saw was something that people really wanted. Yeah.
Well, that's been one of the last time I looked at it before very recently was early 2018.
Oh,
so okay. You can imagine opening recently. I'm like, whoa, that's changed quite a bit, you know, which is a great thing, you know, that the development continues.
That's something that we're really, I don't know, like we're really sort of bullish about is the fact that, you know, we want to keep the app improving. We want to keep developing the app further. And we want to keep ensuring that, you know, we always keep the app in top shape and keep seeing what we can do with it. Because I think one of the things that really separates us from the rest of the apps in the accessibility space, and a very conscious decision that we made early on, was to ensure that we don't become like other accessibility apps where they come, they put out a bunch of, you know, things, and they're out there for like, you know, a few months maybe, and then they just, you know, shut shop and go away, right? We wanted to build something that's more sustainable, something that can have a longer impact, and something that's also, I would say, in a way, very connected to the community, because we used to go ahead and, you know, talk to users every day. We still talk to users every day, and that's sort of what is... Like, we never want to drop the ball on that, you know. So even if you open up the app, like 6 months from now, it's going to have a lot more. It's going to be a lot more better than what it was today. That's basically the driving force here.
Well, and that brings me to a question that I think I kind of already know the answer to, but more a question that some of our listeners would certainly ask. We have things on the market which... for example, I'm going to go ahead and acknowledge the other sort of direct competitor, which is Seeing AI. Sure. So if a potential customer comes to you and says, well, hey, this is great, but what can I get? Because Seeing AI is free and Envision AI has a subscription. What am I getting for my subscription?
Sure. I would say the first thing that we are really better at than the other, I would say other apps in this space is being able to read text, right? And not just, you know, short pieces of text, they're not just scanning documents. The app can do a lot more. So for example, you'd be able to import PDFs into the app. You'd be able to share PDFs directly from your WhatsApp or your other email, you know, mail apps into the Envision app and be able to read those PDFs, export them in different formats and so on. So just, you know, coming to think about reading text, the Envision app offers a lot more and does a lot better than other apps like Seeing AI and so on. The second thing that we really differentiate ourselves in is the amount of support that you get when you become an Envision subscriber, right? So we still talk to users every single day. Like I talk to a minimum of eight users every single day, and everybody in the company basically gets to talk to, gets to talk to our subscribers. Everyone does sort of customer support at Envision. So that's something that we see that it's not something that's easily available with other apps. So if you think about something like a KNFB reader, or if you think about a few other accessibility apps, customer support is something that Envision does a lot better than all those people. And the last thing is the fact that, you know, because of the fact that we're constantly talking to users, we go ahead and update the app a lot more frequently. So unlike, you know, other apps in the space, like for example, Seeing AI, where you might see an update once in 6 months or 7 months, Envision updates almost, I would say, once in 2 weeks right now. So we push a minimum of 2 to 3 updates, which is constantly about new features, which is about improving the app and basically adding a lot more functionality to it. So that's the primary differentiators between Envision and other apps in the market, right? So being able to double down on being able to offer a much better text reading experience, text recognition experience, being able to constantly update the app and offer better customer support. And lastly, also, we're available on Android. So that's a huge, huge plus that, you know, like you mentioned, you have a lifetime subscription. You could use the app on both iOS and Android and be able to use in any number of devices, right? So that's, I would say, the big differentiators.
Also, compared to Seeing AI, I think you have a lot more languages available, correct?
Correct. So the app is able to read in more than 60 different languages, and the app is also translated in more than 20 different languages. I think we almost cover all of the languages that iOS allows us to translate the app into. So yeah, that's also a huge plus. So that's something that users across the world really, really love us. And also one of the reasons why, if you look at our subscribers, the most number of subscribers, you know, today for Envision come from English speaking countries. So despite an app like Seeing AI being available there, people really try out Envision once. They really like the fact that it offers a much better accuracy than other such similar apps. And then they go ahead and subscribe to it.
Mm-hmm.
And from that user, you say you speak to users a lot. Have you had any like great features that have come to the app through that kind of user feedback?
Yeah, there've actually been a lot of really good features that have come out of it. So for example, we have a tab within the Envision app called Scan and Find, which is basically, you know, you could ask it to detect certain kinds of objects in your surroundings and you could just go ahead and choose which object and then point around. That was a feature that was something that users really, really wanted. And that's something that we put in the app. Being able to read PDFs. A lot of people, ever since we started to really improve our text recognition, a lot of people requested, being able to read PDFs, right? And so that's something that we added and that's something that we have improved on a lot as well. So today we have users who read like a 10,000 page PDF. There have been people who prepare for examinations with the help of the Envision app because it's able to import PDFs and so on. So those are some of the features that have really come from the user feedback, apart from a bunch of accessibility improvements and things like that. That's basically a few of the memorable ones that I can think of.
Well, and that's really one of the reasons this whole thing has been able to evolve is that the company itself has made, you know, widely available to users of the product, you know, instead of just looking at internally, oh, we could develop this or we could develop that. You know, you've responded directly to several users' requests for specific types of features.
Yeah. And that's something that we do a lot at AppleViz as well. Like, you know, even recently we went ahead and posted about the glasses in AppleViz and we've been getting a lot of really good feedback around some of the features that might be good to add on the glasses, which sort of directly align with what we want to do. So we constantly want to keep doing that because, yeah, at the end of the day, I think all of the technology that we build and all of the design stuff that we do, all of that is because users want it and not because, you know, we're a company that says, oh, we are okay. We have a bunch of these really cool APIs available. Let's see how we can build something out of that to try and get nice PR. So we're more user driven than technology driven that way, you know?
So do you want to tell us about the glasses then?
Sure. So, with the glasses, you know, the idea was to go ahead and take everything that we do on the app, you know, on the phone, and then, you know, make it a lot more unobtrusive and hands-free experience for the end user, right? So what we did was, you know, early 2018 is when we started to go ahead and look at glasses seriously as, you know, we tried to explore the smart glasses options available in the market, but we couldn't really find something that fit well with what we wanted to do. I mean, we wanted something that was powerful and that had all the specs that would, you know, enable our platform to run on it. But at the same time, we didn't want it to look like a big, bulky headset. So we kept trying different glasses. I think we tried more than a dozen different kinds of smart glasses in the industry today. And sometime around late last year, you know, and sometime around October 2019 is when we saw the new Google Glass introduced. And I was like, okay, this is, you know, when looking at the Google Glass, the form factor was pretty good. And, you know, the specs were pretty good. So we thought, okay, let's probably go ahead and talk to someone at Google, get a pair and see if we can go ahead and put the app onto the glasses and see if that works. So that's really how the glasses started. And we've been sort of working with Google. We've been working with a lot of users to build different, you know, versions of the Envision app on the Google Glass too. And I think we've come to a point right now where we're really happy with the prototype, with the final output. And that's when we decided to kick off for pre-orders, you know, on March 6th. So that's the journey so far. And the glasses itself, to just describe them, the way they look is they look like any other pair of, you know, spectacles. So you can just wear them like how you wear any other pair of spectacles. And on the right side, is the camera. So on the right-hand side is a, you know, 8-megapixel HD wide-angle camera, which is angled towards the center. And then around your temple area is where there's a trackpad, and you could basically use the trackpad to interact with the Envision platform on the glasses. And then just, you know, really close to your ear is a speaker. And that's a speaker through which, you know, you have audio output. There's also a microphone that's on the glass as well. And the audio output is something that's loud enough for you to hear, and but it's still not too loud that other people around you might hear it as well. And then just behind your ears, you know, where the glasses sort of end, is the processing part of it, the battery and all of those things are out there. And the glasses basically run the Envision platform. And we have built our own version of TalkBack that is sort of adapted to the user experience of the glasses. So the Google Glass doesn't come with any kind of TalkBack or any accessibility feature for that matter. So we had to really go back to the drawing board, think from scratch about how we could go ahead and build an accessible UI on the Google Glass. And so we built our own version of TalkBack in the process. So that's what it is. And you'll be able to do everything that you do with the app and more with the glasses.
And are you getting the data connection then from your connected cell phone, or how does that fit into the equation?
Right. So you could go ahead and connect the glasses to Wi-Fi. And, you know, we have a really simple way to connect to your home network. And you could also use the glasses to connect to your phone. It doesn't come with any kind of an eSIM, or it doesn't come with any option to add a SIM card, but you could connect it to your Wi-Fi or hotspot. So that's an option available.
Okay, so I could use my iPhone and connect it that way and take the glasses anywhere and sort of walk around and do whatever I need to do.
Exactly. So the glasses are completely standalone. So you really don't have to connect it to, you know, you don't have to connect it to a phone for it to be useful to you. So the glasses can be used by itself, and you could do everything like connecting to Wi-Fi and all of that stuff directly on the glasses. But we also have the option to pair it with the Envision app on your iPhone or Android device. And once you pair the glasses to the Envision app, you would be able to go ahead and, you know, you'll be able to go ahead and control some of the settings on the glasses directly from the app. So if you want to adjust the volume, or if you want to go ahead and change the language or the TTS, that's all possible when you go ahead and pair the glasses to your phone. But it's not mandatory.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's interesting, because I would have assumed that they were dependent on that the app on your phone was the one that was what was doing the work. So it's really interesting to that.
I know the
glasses
app
themselves
actually
are independent.
Yeah, the glasses are actually like complete. They have a really good processor, and they have one of those latest Snapdragon processors, which is somewhat equivalent to a high end Android phone, a mid to high end Android phone, and the processor on that is really really impressive for the size of the glasses. And the glasses actually are probably, they're the same weight as a little bit heavier than the first Google Glass. But, you know, most people that we showed this to at CSUN completely couldn't believe the fact that all of this stuff that's happening on the app just happens on this really small device on their face. It's really, you know, lightweight that way.
Well, and with the, you may have already done this or may have thought of it or not, I don't know. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. Let's say I'm on the Envision AI app on my phone. By the way, I use Braille almost exclusively. I don't use speech because of my limited hearing. So is it at the moment possible for me to use the glasses and get whatever the glasses are would be speaking, for example, through the iPhone? Because for me, I need Braille access. And so, I mean, you know, you can make it as loud as you want, but that doesn't necessarily help me. So is there a way that I could get anything that comes through the glasses to also go to my phone so that I can access it with a Braille display?
That's a good question. That's something that is theoretically possible on the glasses. So it is possible for us to, you know, we have a simple Bluetooth connection between the glasses and the phone, right? You'd be able to send data to the glasses and back from the glasses, you know, to the phone as well. So you'd be able to send data back and forth, and it should be theoretically possible to go ahead and also send this data, or if your, you know, your Braille keyboard is connected to your to the phone, it would be possible to send the data as well to your Braille display, your Braille keyboard. That should be possible, but we haven't really looked into that option yet. Yeah, it's something that we can look into because we've not exclusively looked into that yet, but it should be theoretically possible. And even if not in the first version, just like how we do with the Envision app, where we constantly keep updating the app and keep, fixing bugs or keep improving or adding functionality, it's also possible for us to keep adding functionality to the app on the glasses. You know, it would be a very similar update process to how you used to on the phone as well. Yeah. But that's something that I can make a note of, and we can definitely discuss it with my team and see if there are ways for us to do this stuff.
I mean, these, to me, as someone who's used different AI apps and everything, one of the frustrations I have is, okay, I have to move my phone around to get, the image exactly the way I want it. Then I have to look, I have to feel down on the Braille display to figure out where it is. And so the glasses would allow me hands-free, to move around wherever I need to move and also be reading on my Braille display the exact position. Say, for example, if I'm looking to do OCR, and that's something the glasses would really help somebody in a situation like mine with.
Even I even think when I'm out, if I'm in a shop and I'm trying to identify what something is or the price on a shelf or something, it's feel very awkward taking my phone out and trying to get the lighting right and all this kind of stuff. And to just have glasses on and just be able to look at it seems like it would be much less intrusive, on what you're doing.
I think the whole thing with the Braille display keyboard setup, that's a very valid question. And that's something that, we can definitely go ahead and discuss with my team. In fact, one of my colleagues is actually someone who is fully blind as well. And he uses a Braille keyboard to go ahead and interact with his PC and so on. And I think I can have a chat with him about this and see what the possibilities are and see if we can go ahead and, work towards integrating a Braille device as well with the glasses in some form or the other, so that you really don't have to go through the experience that you just told me about. Because that I think is a pretty it's a pretty difficult experience, I can guess, to be able to wanting to point a phone but then also be able to go ahead and in a way get the information from your Braille display. That can be quite frustrating.
Well, I'm thinking of people who can't hear at all. I work with a lot of them, people that have both vision and hearing impairments who use Braille displays would really benefit from that kind of a feature. And if it's something that I can help you with, by all means, feel free to reach out after,
Sure. No, I think that actually, is something that we can actively explore as well. And once we are done with our first, round of development and then start shipping the glasses out, that's something that we can definitely work on to go ahead and bring to the glasses as well. And, that's one of the things that we're actually really excited about with the glasses is the fact that we're actually building this as some kind of a platform, right? Like how you have iOS or how you have Android, we're actually building an accessible platform. And one of the things that we're really excited about is to be able to bring other apps, that are there on your phone. So other accessibility apps also onto the glasses because, like I think David was mentioning right now, it kind of is not the most ideal experience, when you want to take your phone out for something and then open up a particular app and then try to point it around and things like that. And so we're talking to apps like Be My Eyes and Aira. So we had a chance to meet with both of them at CSUN this year. And, they're really excited about the glasses. They're really excited about the possibility of, having something like Be My Eyes or Aira onto the Envision glasses. And, users would be able to go ahead and also, apart from using the Envision app, would be able to also use these other apps as well. So that's something that we're actually working on. So we're talking to more partners. We're talking to more, we're starting to talk to, some of the navigation apps out there to see if we can bring something like, Blind Square maybe onto the Envision glasses. So that's something that also is quite exciting right now. And these are things that we will definitely keep rolling out in the near future.
Yeah, actually, I was going to ask you about exactly that because I think apps like Be My Eyes would be an ideal partner for this kind of platform.
Yeah, and so when users actually buy the Envision glasses, they're not just getting everything that comes with the Envision app. They are also getting this platform on which other apps can easily build. You know, like if there are apps out there that are in the accessibility space and then want to come on board the Envision glasses, because it's such a superior, you know, user experience than having to hold your phone and point things around and stuff like that. That feels really outdated when we show users the Envision glasses, where they could just look at something, you know, point at it or tap, you know, tap onto the glasses, or even use voice commands. So we're also integrating voice commands into the glasses, where you'd be able to say, "Hey Envision, read this," or "Hey Envision, who's standing in front of me?" And to be able to use or get information that way, that's something very new and very exciting to them.
Yeah, great. Mm-hmm. What's the early response been like?
At CSUN, it's super positive. So when we were at CSUN this year, sadly, we couldn't really meet a lot of people because of the crisis sort of, you know, happening at that time.
I was one of them that didn't make it.
Oh, okay. But we did talk to a lot of people, and I think unanimously the reviews have been really positive. The early reviews, like we took a prototype of the glasses, you know, to CSUN, and we were showcasing it to people, and they're really, really excited about it. And the testing that we have been doing in the Netherlands, that's also been really positive. So we've been testing with a whole group of, you know, testers here, and that's also been really positive. So the first reviews have been pretty positive, and they continue to be positive as we keep showing the glasses to more people. And the hope is that as the, you know, the crisis lifts and things become better, we'd be able to actually physically travel to more places and then hand out the glasses. In fact, you know, before this whole corona crisis hit, we were actually having like a proper roadshow planned out. So we were going to hit up all the countries. Like we're going to hit up the UK. We were going to go to Germany. We're going to go to a bunch of places in Europe. We were also traveling, you know, we were also planning a really extended roadshow in the US, where we'd go to all the big, you know, centers, the big, you know, organizations in the US, go ahead and organize demo days where, you know, we could take the glasses and show it to groups of, I don't know, 20 or 30 people, and then or do this throughout the months of, you know, all the way from June or July, all the way until, you know, September or something like that. That was the aim. But yeah, let's see how things go. I mean, as of now, everything's been put on hold. But if things go well, we might actually, you know, hit up a few places in the UK, in Europe and UK at least, to go ahead and showcase the glasses to people physically. You know?
I hope Ireland is on the list.
for sure. Yeah, like we actually last year we had the chance to come to, we almost had a chance to come to Dublin, where we wanted to show people like a very early version of the glasses, but that didn't sort of materialize. But Ireland, UK, definitely, you know, on our list to go ahead and showcase the glasses too, because I think it's one thing to be able to hear about the glasses, and it's one thing to be able to go ahead and read about it and you know, watch videos about it, but it's also another thing to be able to go ahead and physically check out the glasses and stuff like that. So that's something that we're really excited to do. But one thing that we're doing right now during this whole crisis time is organize webinars. So we're actually organizing weekly webinars where we are trying to interact with people from different parts of the world to go ahead and, you know, showcase the glasses, you know, live on webinar, take questions. So that's something that we're doing on a weekly basis. And that goes a long way in giving people an experience of the glasses, you know.
Great stuff. Where can people check those out?
So they can check it out on our, so we constantly keep posting about it on Twitter and Facebook. So you can go ahead and, you know, follow us on Twitter at Let's Envision. So that's the handle. And then we constantly keep posting links to upcoming webinars there. So that's one place. And you can also go ahead and go to our website. So that's letsenvision.com. And you can sign up for webinars, sign up for, like, you know, notifications about upcoming webinars and stuff like that.
So if you have the, let's say you purchase the glasses, and we'll get into pricing in a minute, but if you purchase the glasses, do you then continue paying your subscription fee if you don't have a lifetime one, or do the glasses come with a lifetime subscription, or?
Okay. So when you purchase the glasses, you would also go ahead and get the app for a lifetime as well. So you'd be able to, so when you get the glasses, you also get like a free lifetime subscription of the app, and you'd be able to go ahead and use it on iOS or Android and such. Yeah.
One of the questions that of course is going to come up is, well, what are these glasses going to cost and when will they be available?
Sure. So the glasses are all are already available for pre-orders. So, which means that, you know, you can go to our website today and make a, you know, pre-order the glasses, and they would be available to ship starting from August. So that's the plan, at least as of now. And to give you an idea about the price, so at the moment, the price is about 1,700 euros. So about a week ago, it was at 1,500 euros, and that was our super wow. early bird pricing. And now it's about 1,700 euros. And the price is going to keep increase as more people pre-order and as we run out of the early bird pricing as well. So this early bird pricing is going to be around for a week or so, or until stocks last. And then once that happens, the prices are going to increase. And when you buy the Envision glasses during the pre-order, you know, during the pre-order campaign or with the with the pre-order campaign, you basically also get lifetime updates for free. If you were to, you know, basically buy the Envision glasses after the pre-order campaign ends, you get 2 years of updates for free. And after 2 years, you'd have to basically pay a certain fee per year to get upgrade to be able to get updates. So that's just talking about updates. That's not talking about the software itself. And yeah, you always get the lifetime subscription of the app for free as well.
So that's hardware updates, you mean, is it? Or
No, this is software updates. Yeah, okay. So you'd be able to get software updates free for a lifetime during the pre-order phase. So any new features that we might develop, anything new that we might put out, that's going to be available for free for the software, at least. Yeah.
Okay, and that's about 1,900 US, or I would guess about 1,600 pounds if you're in the UK.
Yeah, that's about 1,600 pounds, yeah.
I weigh quite a bit, but not that much. 1,600 pounds is a little, that's more than
I think, you know, I mean, in the, you know, I mean, comparing it to other similar devices in the market, right? I think it's about 1/5 of the cost, roughly, or 1/4 of the cost, sorry, of other similar devices in the market right now. And of course, the idea with the glasses is that you not just get the Envision app, but you also have this other set of apps that we're currently in talks with. So folks like Demise, Aira, or, you know, someone like Blind Square, other GPS apps that we're talking to, those also are going to be coming on, or those also could be coming on as updates in the near future as we roll things out.
And it is, it's a one-off, I suppose. It's not a, there's no monthly subscription or anything like that.
There's no monthly subscription. Nope. Like all of the costs are basically, you know, contained in the price as well. So when you purchase in the pre-order phase, so once you pay the cost for the glasses, you basically get the updates free, and then there's no additional subscription costs. And we also, and the cost of shipping is also is free as well in the pre-order phase. So we ship, you know, for free across the world. So, yeah.
And of course, there's still the app on Android and iOS. So how does that work? You know, some people will find that that's plenty for them, or at least it's somewhere to start with Envision. So is that, how's the subscription work for the app?
Right. So the app is free to install, and you basically go ahead and get a 14-day free trial. And once the 14-day free trial ends, you can pick a subscription plan. Subscription starts at $1.99 a month. So that's a monthly subscription cost, and it's the same in pounds as well. So it's £1.99. And for the annual subscription, you get 2 months free. So you basically get the annual subscription at $19.99, and then the lifetime subscription is $99, and the pricing is the same for pounds as well. So that's the current pricing that we have for the app, and that applies to both iOS and Android as well.
Great, and yeah, at least you can take a look anyway, and you know, download us.
Yeah.
Try the free trial.
Yeah. So please feel free to, you know, you can just search for Envision AI on iOS or you know, on App Store or the Play Store, and then you can install the app. Give us a shot. And we also have, you know, if you want to reach out to us, we have an option called Request a Call. That is directly from within the app itself, and we go ahead and try to respond or give you a call back within a day. So that's basically what we also have at the moment. So you can give us feedback or request a call if you're stuck with anything within the app, and we'd love to go ahead and help you out with it. So yeah, you can give us a shot, and you can also pre-order the glasses on our website. So you can go to letsenvision.com/glasses. So it's letsenvision.com/glasses, and then go ahead and pre-order the glasses as well.
And you're also active on AppleViz. I've seen you post there before, and we appreciate you.
So
yeah, we appreciate you interacting not only with the community at large, but also with AppleViz. You know, it's I'm really, really happy when developers come on and you know, tell us not only what's going on, but also answer questions.
For us, I think we get a lot of benefit from the AppleViz community because, you know, you guys are really tech savvy, and the feedback that we get, we often, you know, see that the feedback compared to what we, you know, usually see in other forums out there is that, you know, the feedback is really pointed. It's very direct feedback, and it's also said in a very respectful way so that we understand what really, you know, is the point of view that's coming from the other side. And also some of the feature requests that we have gotten from the community as a whole are some things that we found to be very, very relevant. And yeah, that's AppleViz has always been the place where we go and interact with people when we have something really new and exciting to discuss, and we want to get feedback, very early feedback from the community, and give our thoughts some direction. You know, so it's a really great community that way.
And something actually people often ask of developers is, do you have any sort of a program for people who want to beta test early kind of features or anything like that?
Sure. So we do have a beta program. So we have a test flight. You know, we have a beta program that's on test flight. So at the moment, the beta program is available to our subscribers. So if you are a subscriber, you can go ahead and download the beta of the app. And yeah, all the new stuff that we usually push out, sometimes stuff that goes out, you know, that we push out weeks later, usually come to the beta first, and we have a lot of new stuff going on there. So yeah, we do have a beta program, and if you're interested, I can just go ahead and share the test flight link with you after the podcast so that you can probably post in the show notes as well.
Okay, I think that just about does it for us then. I just want to say thanks again to Scott for joining me, of course, and of course to Karthik from Envision for joining us on the podcast today. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much,
Thank
David.
You.
Thanks so much, Scott. And yeah, really nice to be on the podcast. And yeah, thank you so much. And I hope to come back with some more exciting news.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye-bye.
Yeah, thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the AppleViz Extra. To learn more about us, visit our website at www.applevis.com. Follow us on Twitter @AppleViz and like us on Facebook.